Excellent. It is Father's Day, obviously, and wonderfully so. We could turn our hearts, we could turn our attention to, you know, our fathers and fathers that have passed or fathers that we've experienced. But I really feel, I want to move our focus toward our Heavenly Father. And, you know, just bring out a few thoughts from the Word concerning His fathering of us. So, Father, we just thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for just the day we celebrate today and honor our fathers in a particular way and honor fathering. And Lord, we just thank You that we've done this for mothers and Mother's Days, and it's a beautiful thing to do, the right thing to do. Honor your mother and your father, that you may live long in the land that I am giving you. It's the first commandment with promise. And so we thank You, Father, for the promises of honor, the promises associating with honoring our fathers. And we know the world is broken. We know there's no such thing as the perfect father, and there's no father here that any of us could ever say we are the perfect father. We're just fathers trying to grow in the Lord. We're just fathers trying to figure it out. We're just fathers trying to access grace so that we can do something positive and some way reflect You. But we also know there's been many that have experienced very negative things by broken fathers, and we recognize that. You recognize that. But Lord, at the end of the day, none of us here in this room and none of us on the planet have reached a level of sinless perfection. We all live in grace. We all live in mercy. And we're all to receive mercy and extend mercy. So we thank You today for where we can truly honor our fathers. And we thank You, Lord, for the grace You've given us to be able to release those things that may have been wounding or damaging. And we thank You for that grace to do so. We also acknowledge that given the same circumstances or the same journey, we don't know how we would do. So, Father, we bless You for Your grace and we honor You for Your grace today in Jesus' name. I want to just turn our focus to our Heavenly Father, because nobody in Christ now is fatherless. People may feel fatherless. People may feel father wounds, whatever. All that we know. But we actually have a Heavenly Father who supersedes it all, transcends it all, and is far above it all, and is so pure, so holy, so righteous, that He actually is the one we really need to draw now our grace and our hope and our sense of belonging and identity, because He's our Father. He's our Father. And so we have the stunning reality of what Jesus, if you grasp the stunning reality, we see it in Matthew 10, verse 30 to 20 to 31, where Jesus talks about, He's talking about various things, and He's talking about some things that are difficult, but then he, and it's all in the context of the fear of the Lord. But in amongst it, He makes this beautiful statement: "Do not fear, therefore. You are worth more than many sparrows." But before that, in verse 30, He says, "But the very hairs on your head are all numbered." And I know that's a joke, so don't go there. But Jesus is pointing out that our Father, whether you know Him yet or not, knows us so well. He knows us so through and through that even the very hairs on our head are numbered. And for blonde people, apparently that's more than the redder-haired people. And somewhere in the middle is the more brunette, darker-haired people. But average, about 100,000. If you managed to count all the hair in this room in terms of numbers of hairs on people's heads, you would probably average out at about 100,000. That's quite a few to count, really, isn't it? One, two. Janice said, "Don't pull any more." But that's not just a poetic statement. That's an indication of reality. And to think that your father, my heavenly father, your heavenly father, knows you so well that he actually knows how many hairs are on your head. To me, that is stunning. To think that I am known that well. That's more than I know myself. I have no idea how many hairs are on my head still. No idea whatsoever. Let alone my arms. I won't mention. No idea whatsoever, but my father knows. Some of you, I've lost you. I've lost you. I'll stick to the head. And I'll stick to the palms of my hands. There's no hair on the palms of my hands. And I've only got four fingers and a thumb, each hand. But the reality is, our Heavenly Father knows us far better than we know ourselves. You think of that. You think of what you know about yourself. What you think about what goes on in your heart and in your mind sometimes that you would not want anybody else to know. You wouldn't put that on Facebook. You wouldn't put it on TikTok or whatever. You wouldn't even put it on X. There's a whole lot of things that go on inside of us that we wouldn't sometimes would like to admit to people that those feelings go on, or that bit of anger, or that bit of whatever, or that bit of desire, or whatever it is. You wouldn't want to tell anybody. But even in spite of all that, the Father knows us absolutely. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows us absolutely. He loves us so intensely. And in Christ, He's redeemed us and united with us with Himself so perfectly. See, when people start to realize that, the issue of self-rejection starts to diminish. The issue of self-hatred can start to diminish. The issue of comparing ourselves with one another can start to diminish, because at the end of the day, we are so highly valued and so dearly loved by our Father, by our Heavenly Father, that we're just loved for who we are. They're loved for who they are. Everybody else is loved for who they are. And when you get revelation of that and what Jesus has done for us to reunite us and reconcile us back to our Father, it's kind of like we can just enjoy being ourselves amongst ourselves and just enjoy being loved. Because I'll tell you this, the love of the Father for us is so deeply, deeply pure. It is so absolutely securing. Have you ever had the knowledge that a big storm is coming and you have to secure things? You have to go out and strap things down, or make things put away, or make things are strapped down, or make sure things are secure. And the bigger the storm, the more attention you want it to play. You want to pay into securing things, because when that blow comes, or that storm comes, the energy that's released will lift that thing up and just take it away. Well, in the storms of life, it's the love of the Father that has secured us. The love of the Father has anchored us. The love of the Father has established us on the sure rock, the sure foundation. I'm telling you from experience, His love is so pure, His love is so securing, His love is so, it causes such a deep sense of identity as His dearly loved child to explode or to start growing in us. It's hard to put language to. Paul tries to describe it perhaps this way, that you would know the height, that you would know the width, that you would know the depth of the love of God in Christ. Different writers have tried to explain what it is, but when you encounter Him, when you come into Him and you encounter Him, it's language can't do it justice. And yet it's that love that He has for us. And it's that love that He's demonstrated in Christ. We've been talking about the fear of the Lord. We've been talking about loving one another through for parts of this year. And the more you experience and encounter His love, it doesn't diminish your reverence for the Lord. It doesn't diminish your awe and respect of God. It only increases it, because it's also in light of the fact, you know, and I know, our own personal challenges and our own personal imperfections and our own personal little load of oppressive faults. Then we see in James chapter 1, verse 16, a beautiful passage. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Now, if you go back and look at that, it's talking about being tempted. People thought they were being tempted of God, maybe, or, you know, various things going on. And he points out that, no, we're often led astray by the desires and by the things inside of us. Don't let anybody say he's being tempted of the Lord or drawn away into sin by the Lord, because the Lord can't be tempted, and He doesn't tempt anybody. God doesn't tempt anybody into sin. So don't say that you're being tempted by the Lord. One man said to me one day, some time ago, he said, you won't know who he is. He said, I'm being shocked by these feelings I'm having for this person. And I knew it was illegal. In the spirit, it was illegal. And he was thinking that his feelings were the Lord's doing. And I said, maybe it's not the Lord's doing at all, it's just your own attraction and your own desire. Don't be confused by something that you're feeling inside for something or somebody that is actually illegal in the spirit. Don't get confused thinking that it's God causing you to feel those things. Oftentimes, it's just our own natural desire. See, what you focus on, you'll be attracted to. Well, you've got to use discernment. Sometimes you've got to repel those things and deal with those things, because it's not legal to feel that. It's not legal to act on it. You've got to deal with it. It's called self-control. It's called government. It's called righteousness. It's called holiness. It's called repentance if it goes too far. Okay? So James is saying, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creation. Verse 18 in the New Living Translation puts it this way. Verse 18, He chose to give us birth. Sorry. I'll start again. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, become His prized possession. Turn to somebody and say, you're a prized possession. You're God's prized possession. You're your Father's prized possession. Somebody might say, I don't want to be a possession. Well, you are. If you're in Christ, you've been bought. And you were bought with a price. That price was the blood of His Son. You were bought out of slavery to darkness and sin. You were translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And our lives are not our own. They belong to Him. We've been bought. And I'm so glad I've been bought. Because I would not like to be owned by my own old owner. I would not like to still be lorded over by my old Lord. I would still not be like to be under the control and ownership of the dominion of sin. I'm so glad I've been bought. I'm so glad I've been bought and paid for. I'm so glad. And I want to tell you, my friends, to be The Father's treasured possession is the greatest. It's the greatest joy, it's the greatest privilege, it's the great honor a human being can ever know. And it's our Father that sent His Son to pay the price to buy us back from slavery, from bondage, from hell. He's bought us back from it. What an incredible thing. So every perfect gift, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or shifting shadow or shadow of turning, the New King James says. There's no craftiness, there's no hidden dark agenda, there's no double dealing. Our Father is true. Our Father's not broken. Our Father wasn't subject to the fall. Our Father's nature wasn't corrupted by darkness. Our Father is pure. Our Father is holy. Our Father is righteous. Our Father is pure love. Our Father is fire. Our Father is power itself. Our Father is our Creator. Our Father is our Redeemer. Whoa. This is Father's Day. I'll read you from the Passion Translation, from the book of Jacob, because that's his proper name. We've translated in English James. James is good. Every gift God freely gives, well, every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect. Streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of His infallible word, so that we would fulfill His chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all of His creation. Wow. I'm His favorite. Just turn to somebody, I'm His favorite. Point at them and say, yeah, you're His favorite. See, there's reference here. There's reference here that everything we can see, everything, every material thing came out of God. The language is that God spoke. You know, God said, light be, or God said, let there be light. It depends on how it's translated, but a good translation of Hebrew would be, let the one who shines shine forth, or let the one who is light be. So whichever way you like to put it or translate it, everything's begun, apart from the Godhead Himself, everything has been created out of the living expression of Himself, which is His Word. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So just as Adam was formed and fashioned and breathed, and then breathed into all of creation that He put Him into, was all here through the result of His Word, and is all sustained by the power of His Word, or the Word of His power. That's how it is. That's reality. And so now, we were born of a mother. We've come into the world. Yes, a mother. We were born into the world. Born into the world. But our spirit needed to be born again. We needed another birth. We needed to be reconciled to the Father. We needed to be brought home. We needed to be rejoined back to the Father because of that original fall issue. But there needed to be a shedding of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And God went to great effort to set up a nation that would develop a pattern of understanding whereby we would understand the issue of blood sacrifice. We would understand the issue of substitution. We would understand the issue of redemption. And there would also be pointers to a time when the Son of God would come, the Lamb of God, who would take away all of the sin of the world. He would come, step into time. The Word made flesh would step into time and take on the form of a man and live a sinless life and then be crucified, not for your sin, not for his sin, but for yours and my sin. So therefore, shedding his blood and legally being able to remit and take away sin. This is part of God's eternal plan. So the Father initiated this plan before creation. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world. This is God's long-term plan. You, if you're in Christ, have fitted into and connected into God's long-term plan. Your Father's long-term plan. You are not here just by the will of your father. That may have happened to cause conception. You're not here by the will of a human being. You're here by the will of God. You're alive on planet Earth today and born again and in him because of the will of God, because of the will of your father. Your father who knows you much better than you know yourself. He even knows what fashioned your soul. He even knows what fashioned your reactions and responses. He even knows what fashioned the way we think. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what challenges us. He knows what terrifies us. He knows what blesses us. He knows how to secure us for all eternity. Because storms have come and more storms will come. Storms of all types. But the love of the Father knows about the storms and he deliberately secures us on the rock Christ Jesus. He's provided a sure foundation in the earth that will endure any storm. It will endure through all seasons of time, all political movements, all wars, all things. He's built that rock into the earth. He's called Christ. That same rock that followed the people through the wilderness, whom Moses had to strike first time and speak to the second time, where the water gushed out of to feed between 1.5 and 3 million people plus their animals. In Corinthians, Paul says that rock that followed them was Christ. And so Christ himself, the Father himself, knows what it is to create a situation to plant you on that will endure every storm that comes, because he knows how to anchor you down for whatever life may bring, whatever other people choose, whatever governments choose, whatever despots choose, whatever the oligarchs choose, whatever, whoever it is. Whatever things get set up in the earth that creates conflict, that rock remains, and you on that rock, God knows how to secure you and has secured you. So since 1 Peter 1:22, finished very soon, 1 Peter 1:22 says that, since we have purified ourselves by obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love, of the brethren. That's a really interesting connection, isn't it? Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Verse 23, having been born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Wow. Your Father has sent his word into the earth, his Son Jesus, a living word, and because by his Spirit you've been able to embrace him as your Lord and Savior, you have now been born again and been reunited, reconciled back to your heavenly Father through the power of that regeneration. It is impossible for you now to be fatherless. It is impossible for you now. united with Christ to be fatherless, because it was your father that organized all that. It was your father that planned all that. It was your father that planned you to be alive in this time. It was your father that planned you to hear the gospel. It was your father that gave you the grace to respond. It was your father that even put the faith in your heart to be able to respond. It's all from him. This is Father's Day. We've got every reason to glorify and honor our father. In John chapter 1 verse 10 it says this: he was in the world. This is talking about Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. And he came to his own and his own received him, didn't receive him. But verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of a father and will of a mother, nor the will of man, but of God. I'm here. I'm the last of 10 by 4 years. The only ones planned in my natural family were the first four. People say, I wasn't planned by my parents. Okay. That probably goes for 70-80% of the population, if you were really honest. Maybe, I don't know. But all I know is this: when the revelation started to hit me that my father, my heavenly father, planned me, and he did a sneaky on my dad. My heavenly father planned me. Richard, we're not mistakes. Our heavenly father planned us. That's something to laugh about, isn't it? Our heavenly father planned us. 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 I don't care what devaluing message the world and hell wants to throw at you. Our father planned us. Our father knows us. Our father knows us better than we know ourselves. And our father has planned a glorious future for us. Between now and the time we meet him face to face, or we go to be with the Lord, or he returns, or however that's all going to work out. Between now and then, there's going to be some challenges. Those challenges are going to help us grow. Those challenges are going to help us grow muscle. Those challenges are going to help us increase in patience and virtue and faith and dimension, because that's what they do. But our Father has planned a glorious future for you. He's planned a glorious home for you. He's planned a glorious job profile for you. He's got glorious responsibilities for you. You're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp all eternity. You're going to have things to do. You're going to have adventures with the Lord. Who knows how many angels he's going to commission to you? It says we're going to judge them. I'm talking about those who live and continue to grow in Christ and are faithful to him. Oh, we better wrap up. So now you see, now when Jesus taught us how to pray. And notice it's not my father, it's our father. Lord, teach us how to pray like the other, when you pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, or in the heavenlies, hallowed be your name. Our Father. There's a good reminder. Our Father. Jesus said there's a time coming where you're not going to ask me anything. But whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Because it's about being reconciled to the Father. Jesus' blood reconciled us to the Father. The power of Jesus' blood brings us out of being strangers, being separated, being strangers to the covenants of God, and brings us, the word says, brings us near. So every believer in this room right now, you've been brought right near to the Father. In fact, you're so near, you're one. You can't get any more near than one. It's all been a work of your Father. You pray to Jesus. If you want to pray to Jesus, that's fine. But Jesus said, Jesus said, there's coming a time when you won't ask me anything, but whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Jesus' massive desire was to have every person, reconciled to the Father and be reconciled to true fathering. Be reconciled to true fathering. And be reconciled to your Father. He didn't say, ask me, I'll have a chat with the Father and he'll do it. Didn't say that. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Let's all stand. We're going to share the table of the Lord now. But there's some men here that that just the impact of the impact of the fathering world you grew up on has left you wondering about how to step up and how to step up into the realm of your identity as a father, your identity even as a man. And as we take the table of the Lord today, we'd like it to go to everybody. But there may be some men here who just feel like, yep, I just need the Holy Spirit to help me step up into my place as a man, but also in my fatherhood, but also in the sense of being fathered myself. The sense of being fathered myself. So just take those around. Thank you so much for taking all those around and just take them and hold them. And thank you for children being in. Children, you're most welcome to take communion if your parents are okay with that. And perhaps you can gather your children and share with them as well. But maybe men here who just want to say, Lord, I need your help. I'm just gonna step up in my fathering. I'm going to step up in my identity as a man because I recognize that you are my Father. I want your grace. I want your Spirit to work in me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're the Father of all fathering. And everything that's out of line with your nature, Lord, your character, is not heavenly fathering, it's just something else. So bring the power, Lord, continue to bring the power of your heavenly fathering across every person's life. Let every person have deep revelation that you are their wonderful heavenly Father and you know them better than we know ourselves. To be known of God is an incredibly powerful thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Just put there. Thank you very much, John. Is that John? Yep. Thank you, Lord. There may be people here you've never received Christ into your life. So you don't have a sense of God being your Father. You wonder about it all. Maybe you're feeling like life's a lonely journey. I want to tell you this. The best thing I ever did was ask Jesus, surrender my life to the Lord and ask Him to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Just the most wonderful decision. Has life been easy ever since that? No, it hasn't, and it never intended to be. Because all through challenges and all that, you grow and you learn more about yourself and about the Lord, and you learn to overcome, you learn how to pray, all sorts of things. It's just essential that we have some challenges, actually. But you have the challenges not alone anymore, but with the Lord, with the Father, and with His power, with His Holy Spirit. So when we receive Christ, we're saying, Lord, I've been a sinner. I've struggled and failed in so many ways. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, and I ask you to come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. And when you do that, He takes you very seriously, and He joins His Spirit to your Spirit. And you become a new creation. And you begin a whole new journey and a whole new walk with the Lord. So if that's you today, I'd love you to come up. Come on up. If that's you today, come on up. We'd love to pray with you as we take the table of the Lord together. There may be some men who want to respond, but we're going to also pray together as well. Let's take the table of the Lord together. Just hold the bread up if you can do that. Jesus, I thank you that this is the bread of heaven. How about you pray after me? Father, I thank you. This represents the bread of heaven, your body, the word made flesh. Lord, as I eat this today, I acknowledge that you're my Lord, my Savior, my elder brother, my Redeemer, and that I'm bought with a price. I thank you, Lord, that you made provision for me to be forgiven, to be reconciled to my Father, to be delivered of demonic oppression, to be healed of diseases, and to be secured for all eternity. And so much more. I thank you, Lord. As I eat of this today, I do it in remembrance of you and the expression of my Father's kindness. In Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Just hold up the cup without spilling it on your friend. Pray after me. Father, I thank you that this represents the blood of the new covenant and the shed blood of your Son, who was the Lamb of God. I thank you, Lord, that by this blood, he's taken away my sin. He's taken away our sin. And thank you, Lord, that you've secured us in covenant relationship with you. Your plan is so wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for drawing me to yourself and for saving me, for giving me eternal life and the great adventures ahead. Thank you, Lord. It's by your blood that I've been brought near to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One last thing, let's link hands across the place. And I'd just love you to pray with me one more time. Father, today we thank you for the fathers that are in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for the men who will be fathers one day in the future. But we thank you now that fathering according to your heart, according to your nature, is absolutely your idea. So right now, we release honor to the fathers in our midst. And we say in Jesus' name, with all humility, rise up, stand in your place, take up your calling, receive the grace of the Lord. He will strengthen you. He will empower you. In Jesus' name, we affirm you today in the Lord and in his might. Father, Father, those who you have responsibility for, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Have an awesome morning tea if you're going to stay around. Have a great family lunch if you're going to do that. If you're walking through a process of release of your father, then grace to you as you do that. In Jesus' name, God bless you.